So, you think you know the true story of what happened at the Capitol on January 6th? Well, maybe we should talk about the rest of the story. Yeah, let's dig into that. Instead of focusing on winning arguments, we're teaching the basic fundamentals of sales and marketing and how we can use them to win in the world of politics, teaching you how to meet people where they're at on the issues they care about. Welcome to The Brian Nichols Show. Well, hey there, folks. Brian Nichols here on The Brian Nichols Show, and thank you for joining us on, of course, another fun-filled episode. I am, as always, your humble host, joining you from our Cardio Miracle Studios here in lovely Eastern Indiana. The Brian Nichols Show is powered by our friends over at Amp America. If you want to go ahead and check out all the latest happenings in the world with a let's be real, without the leftist perspective, the leftist bias that comes through all the traditional corporate media entities, check out ampamerica.com. We have some great news articles, opinion pieces, and more. Check them out one more time, ampamerica.com. Very excited to be part of the Amp America family. And also, I'm very excited to be powered by Cardio Miracle. Cardio Miracle is our studio sponsor, and I am a huge fan. Been using Cardio Miracle for about 6 months now, and here's what it is. It is literally the best heart health supplement in the world, bar none, no questions asked. Now, I was a little skeptical, candidly. I was like, okay, this brand new ingredient I'm hearing about called nitric oxide, it's supposed to help with my heart health. What is this? You know, I have a history of high blood pressure. Is this really something that works? Yes, it really is something that works. From lowering my blood pressure, better pump at the gym, heck, even a more restful night's sleep, I am seeing, and I have seen, the difference for Cardio Miracle myself. And folks, I think it's time you experience the difference as well. So what you're going to do, head down below into our show notes, click the link. It's going to bring you right over to CardioMiracle.com. It'll give you 15% off your order if you click that link or if you use code TBNS at checkout. Now, for everybody else in the audience who maybe is a little on the fence, you're like, does this actually work, Brian? I hear you. I get it. You have nothing to worry about. You have a 100% money-back guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Head down below, click the link in the show notes, or visit our friends over at CardioMiracle.com. I guarantee you're going to join the tens of thousands of other folks who are experiencing the Cardio Miracle difference for themselves, and your heart will thank you. All right, talking about your heart thanking you, how about your brain thanking you? Because you'll actually be filling it with some knowledge, with some context, some very important knowledge and context, particularly about one of the most talked about days in recent American history, January 6th, 2021. Now, I candidly had an episode air with Matt Kibbe on January 6th. I had been down in DC like 4 or 5 days earlier recording a nice episode with him. And I'm like, my episode is going to be airing on the 6th. It's going to be great. Got a little overshadowed. Some stuff happened at the Capitol. I don't know if you guys heard about that. A supposed insurgency was trying to storm and take over the Capitol to destroy our American democracy as we know it. At least that was the narrative. That's what we were told. But is that the true story, or is there more to the rest of the story? To discuss all that and more, joining us once again from Truth in Media, return to the show, Ben Swan. Welcome back to The Brian Nichols Show. How you been?
Thanks for having me on, Brian. I've been great. How about you?
Busy, busy, busy. I know we were just talking about new dad / new granddad life. So life's fun, but life has been busy. And I guess a lot behind the scenes in our American political discourse. A lot's been happening as well, Ben, since you were last here on the show. Talk to us. What's been going on in the world of Ben Swan recently?
Well, a lot of things. I mean, we've been growing like crazy. We're building a studio in Miami, which is where I am right now. So I have this little water thing, I guess, whatever that painting is. But anyway, so we're building a studio here for Truth and Media and, you know, putting together some incredible stuff. We've been working on a whole set of docuseries, actually two different docuseries that we're releasing. You're mentioning the rest of the story. We'll be talking a lot about that today, but also starting next week, we'll start releasing a docuseries that I put together called Zelensky Unmasked, which takes a look at the war in Ukraine and what I would argue is the scam that's being run around that war. It's a pretty incredible thing that I think more and more people are beginning to realize and wake up to. But, you know, when you start to get facts and information and really start to look at it rather than just the propaganda we're fed all day long, you know, these stories start to tell themselves. So we've been incredibly busy with it, but it's a very exciting time.
It's just funny. Like, so peek behind the curtain for the audience. I will record multiple episodes sometimes in a day. And I just actually recorded an episode before you hopped on here with a college professor. And, you know, he's a libertarian, but he was making a very strong and passionate case that America, in fact, is doing the right thing in Ukraine and in Israel. And it just, it is quite entertaining to me to go from that episode to this conversation. Now, you and I, Ben, I think are much more on the same wavelength in terms of, I look at the Ukraine war and I think it's a complete money laundering scam. And we can dig into that today. I look at what's happening in Israel. I think, oh, an unintended consequence is being met with another unintended consequence that will lead to more unintended consequences. How about that? So for me, I don't know. It is just funny to be able to go from literally the polar opposite side of the aisle to where I think majority of the audience is today. So thank you for that. But let's say real quick,
you know, and I didn't hear your interview with the professor, but what's interesting when you, the difference between interviewing a journalist and a professor, right, is that professors are theoretical, right? So in theory, here are the reasons why, if everything we're being told is true, this could make sense.
Yes.
The problem is when you peel back the curtain and you say, but the things we're being told are complete lies.
Yes.
Then I wonder how he would respond to that. Maybe we will go on together sometime.
I say we should probably have that conversation, because one of the things we talked about was the importance of facts, right? Facts being the underlying bedrock of your argument, and at the very peak of your pyramid of argumentation, critical thinking. And I raised the question, well, what if the facts are wrong, right? And that right there, I think, is where the main divide comes, is what are the facts? And this actually is a great segue to the conversation we're going to have today, looking at January 6th. Yeah. And also, you tease it with Ukraine. You know, what were the facts versus what was the narrative? What was the propaganda? And I think right there, we have a great opportunity, Ben, to really pull the curtain back and have a real, you know, heart-to-heart conversation with the American public to say, you weren't told the truth, or at least you weren't told the full truth. You were given little sneak pieces to help paint a picture of a scenario we want you to believe. But when we start to actually look at the entirety of the evidence, the entirety of the facts as they present themselves without the bias. And I actually just heard, I think it was on Patrick David's podcast. They're talking about, you know, you watch a news segment and turn off the volume, just watch it. And what do you gather from your own lying eyes watching something? And then when you hit the unmute button, what's the narrative being promoted? And does that narrative change the way that you interpret those very real facts that your own eyes are seeing? And the answer is quite clearly yes. So Ben, talk to us. You know, we're looking at the ignoring of facts, the ignoring of complete context. You're talking about this with Lara Logan for the brand new docuseries that's being released over in its entirety through Truth and Media over on X as well. But like, what were some of the just most damning things you saw in terms of facts and context being forgotten or outright omitted when we're talking about the J6, end of democracy, as it was called back in 2021?
Yeah, I think that So the thing about January 6th is you have multiple things happening at one time, right? Mm-hmm. When you go back and you look at the story, obviously you had a Trump rally that took place. We all know that, right? I was at that rally. I was covering it that day. Then you had the rally breaking up, and then you had people who went to the Capitol, and then all of a sudden you have a second story that's happening there. And then we have this story that's been played out by the media, right? There were these groups that were there. There were paramilitary groups like the Proud Boys, groups like the Oath Keepers. And what they actually wanted to do was come into the Capitol, hang and kill members of Congress, and take over the government. And yet, when you look at that narrative and you say, okay, well, that sounds horrible, and you look at the right pictures and you look at the right images, you can say, okay, I can see it. There's people on scaffolding. They're breaking windows. They're trying to get into the building. There's this woman, Ashley Babbitt, who shot and killed because she was going to try to kill members of Congress. And so there are images that then fit what someone's telling you. So I love how you started this by saying, if you turned off the audio, if you turned off the volume, you just look at the images that are being presented, and then you turn on the volume, and the explanation to you is, this is what was happening, this is what these people were doing, you would have no reason to not believe it, right? Because it's being all framed to you in a certain way. Of course, that's not journalism. Journalism, if that's what we were watching when we watch a newscast, would say, all right, let's look at all of what's happening.
I mean, so Ben, really quick, like the analogy I want to give is, I think I am a closet big paranormal fan. Like, I love ghosts and stuff. Okay. There's a show I watch on YouTube called Nuke's Top 5, and he'll have like, you know, like these different scary videos, and then, you know, they'll play the video and he'll go, "Did you hear it?" And then he'll put like the captions over what the ghost said, and I'm like, the ghost didn't say that. The ghost went, blah, 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 blah. But he's like, yeah. "Did you hear the ghost say, 'I miss my mom'?" And it's like, oh, he put the captions, and now my brain is trying to hear that. But when you just listen to it, it's just a bunch of like white noise gobbledygook. So that's exactly right. Yeah.
Oh, well, and there's another great example of that. There's a professor. There's a video that's going around on like Reels and Instagram. And it's this professor who's in a classroom, and he's explaining to the class how you tell people what to hear, and they hear it. And so it's the sound of a crowd chanting, "Let's go Manchester," I think. Mm-hmm. And then he, and they all have like, you know, their kind of British Scottish accents, right? So as Americans, we're hearing it. And so we're hearing what he's telling us. And then they write on the screen what they're saying. And they, and it's everything, and I'm going to get it wrong, but it's everything from things like, you know, Bart Simpson is the best to, and it's all these different things at one after the other.
There's
and
nothing every more time powerful you, than you.
You put the words on the screen, and then you hear them saying it. That's what you hear. It's pretty amazing. And his point is the power of suggestion, right? You hear this sound, someone's telling you what they're saying, and so your brain automatically fits to what that is.
Here really
that's
quick.
A lot of what's happened.
I want to do this really quick. I'm going to share this screen. This is a perfect example, folks. You should be seeing a YouTube video right now. Listen to this, okay? Now, if you're an audio listener, I want you to listen to what it's saying. If you're a video listener, you're going to see the words that it says. What is it saying? I'm not going to tease it yet, but I want to play it a little bit first, and then I want you to listen to it and tell me what you hear. All right, so is that saying green needle, or is it saying brainstorm? All right, now I'm going to play it again. Listen for it to say brainstorm. Now, when I first played it, I was hearing green needle. And as soon as I said to listen for brainstorm, now all I hear is brainstorm. And that right there, Ben, we can both listen to the exact same audio clip, and we can hear two different things. Yeah, I can literally hear two different things, like literally immediately after playing the first time.
Yes, exactly. It, so much of it is suggestion, right? Because our brain is making shortcuts. It's trying to get to the clarity of whatever it's hearing as quickly as possible. And so you make the right suggestions to it, and you hear it. And a lot of that's what's happened with J6. Not as sophisticated, but it's what's happened. And I think you asked about emissions. One thing we have found with Lara's series that is so incredible, and I encourage people, the first 10 episodes are up at truthandmedia.com. You can go there on X or Truth and Media. Truthandmedia.com, you can watch the first 10 episodes. They are incredible, but especially if you go with like those last three episodes that have come out.
Attention fans of The Office and political enthusiasts alike. Our friends over at Indie Emporium are ready to help you show your support for the most unexpected candidate of 2024, Michael Scott. Picture yourself wearing our We're Back in Business graphic tee featuring a bold red Michael Scott 2024 design that's sure to turn some heads. The soft, comfortable fabric and vibrant print make this a perfect choice for any campaign rally or debate watch party. And here's the best part. As part of our special campaign launch, you can use the discount code MS2024 to get 25% off your purchase. But you gotta act fast, because this is part of our Michael Scott 2024 campaign launch, meaning it's gonna go fast. So you only have 2 weeks to get the exclusive 25% off your order. One more time, MS2024. Special shout out to our friends over at Indie Emporium. You can check them out at IndieEmporium.com.
We present so much information that was omitted about the role of law enforcement, the role of Capitol Police, the role of military groups that are there, potentially feds, FBI, CIA, any number of three-letter agencies who are on the ground. You know, we mentioned about this idea of insurrection and the attempt to overthrow the government. Power of suggestion. When we see that and we see crowds and these people plan to storm the government, kill members of Congress, and then take over a government building and declare Trump president. How were they going to do that with no weapons? Why were there no weapons on the ground? You know that not one J6 defendant has been charged with having a handgun, charged with having a bomb on them, not charged with a single weapon. And yet, we were able to find at least two or three people who did have weapons on them that day, who were dressed like they were people in the crowd. But since, you know, J6, they've been identified and then hidden because they were members of law enforcement who were armed, who were encouraging people to go into the Capitol, who were telling people to go through windows, who were telling people to climb scaffolding, who were telling them how to get into the building. And what we have found, and it might sound conspiratorial to people, so that's why you got to watch the videos. Laura's done an incredible job with her team of breaking down factual information. We have a team that was able to pull information that had been scrubbed from the internet, able to recover it in some incredible forensic ways to show what exactly was happening, how much of this was pre-planned in advance. And then you take that and you couple it with, you know, interviews that we've done regarding the vans. There were vans of men who were brought into DC early in the morning, who looked like military or feds, who were dressed as Trump supporters, who were dispersed into the crowd. And so if you're only hearing Green Needle and you say, I never hear Brainstorm, it's because no one's ever suggested to you that Brainstorm's a part of this, right? And I think that's what's happened with J6. If you watch the J6 committee hearings, they have intentionally omitted so much information. You know, members of Congress who have questioned the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, who have questioned them about who was on the ground, how many agents were on the ground, what was their role, did any agents commit acts of violence? Can't get answers. Still, to this day, can't get answers. And so there is an incredible omission of factual information about how much government was involved in this day. And that leads to this. If what happened on J6 was purely spontaneous, if there was no role of government in trying to create some kind of other event, it was purely spontaneous. Proud Boys went in there and they wanted to take over the Capitol. They all decided that morning, right, that they were going to take the Capitol. Why was law enforcement in the crowd in such numbers, dressed as plainclothes, as plainclothes civilians? How do they anticipate this? Why do they anticipate this? They would have answers to any of those questions. And the sad thing is, especially on the mainstream level, no one dares to even ask the question.
Well, and if you do, you're labeled a conspiracy theorist. Like, I think Thomas Massey had the testicular fortitude to even ask the question, why is Ray Epps not being looked at? Like, he was literally at the Capitol building the night before saying, we gotta go in! We gotta go in! And everybody's saying, no, fed. That doesn't get brought up. That doesn't get looked at. And if it does, why are you trying to destroy this poor man's life? Wait, hold on. I thought everybody who went to the January 6th protest with a Trump hat on was a literal domestic terrorist. Is that not the mindset? But now we're going to protect this one guy for reasons? I mean, something doesn't add up here, Ben.
What's fascinating about Ray Epps is that he wasn't charged with anything for well over a year. It wasn't until we started reporting on him that the feds came back and said, oh, you know, we are going to slap him with something. And so they gave him a very small charge, misdemeanor charge of incitement or something outside. He put his hand on this flag and helped to push it into officers. So there were a few things that we brought out. And as we started to bring those out and they started to come out in this series, he's gotten a little more scrutiny. They're trying to keep it quiet, but I think it is so glaring of the fact that, you know, you have people who are right now, Brian, still in solitary confinement over what happened on January 6th. You still have not gone to trial. And most of these people, I would say the vast majority of them, are being charged with trespassing. That's what they're being charged with when they finally get into a courtroom. They're not being charged with treason. They're not being charged with insurrection. They're being charged with trespassing or with disrupting an official proceeding. And yet we'll see, and listen, I'm not trying to be political about which is right or wrong. I'm just saying it's inconsistent.
Right.
You see people who are coming into the Capitol who are trying to protest Israel's funding and the Palestinian movement, and they want, you know, the rights for Gaza, free Gaza, free Palestine. None of those people are being charged the same way. None of them are in solitary confinement. I'm not saying they should be. They shouldn't be. What I'm saying is there cannot be one specific event with one class of people who are deemed to be domestic terrorists. When you get into trial, they say, well, they were trespassing.
Right.
They messed up our official event, and that's why they've been solitary confinement now for 2 years.
I just don't, I mean, I say I don't get it. I do get it. And I hate that I get it. It's because we are really in this, you know, this, it's a two-party, but kind of like two-system America, right? And it really depends on which of those parties that you're a part of in terms of how you will be approached when it comes to our government. And you look at, if you're not towing the official narrative as it has been passed down from our government betters, whether that's through COVID, J6, Ukraine, I mean, you go through the list, over, especially over the past 5 years. And I think that's also why so many folks are having this conversation, frankly, Ben. It's because you can't like pretend that the past 5 years haven't happened. They can't gaslight us to say like, oh, it wasn't that bad. Or to your point, try to rewrite the history that, to make us use the Wayback Machines to find that, you know, historical forensic evidence that shows, wait, no, you did say this stuff. Or we do have reporting that shows that X, Y, and Z happened. And that right there, I think, speaks to why so many people are in fact starting to ask questions. And I'm going to pick on Ben Shapiro here for a second, and it's because he did an episode on Friday where he was talking about, like, well, there's people who they're just asking questions. And he's like, if you're just asking questions, I don't think that you're good faith. And he's like, especially if you're older, like if you're a younger person, you're just asking questions. I understand that, you know, you want to understand, but if you're older and you should have context and historical understanding, then just saying I'm asking questions isn't a good approach. It's not an authentic approach, more or less. And I disagree. I disagree wholeheartedly, because we need to be consistently asking questions and, frankly, questioning everything. That's not to say that there are things that are true, that are factual. And I just talked about this last episode where you have facts that we can agree upon, but we have to first agree that this is solid foundational facts. And that's the problem I hear, especially when we're talking about, you know, Ben Shapiro is very, very emotional when it comes to the Israel-Gaza conversation. But like the fact set that he brings to the table, he will not question it. And that's where we have problems, because he's looking at what he's identifying as, you know, black and white facts and saying, if you dare question these, you're anti-Semitic, you're anti-Zionist, you hate Jews. Like that's the argument. And you can't have a rational discourse if that's the deposition that you're going to be saying, okay, these are our set of facts and you aren't allowed to test them. You aren't allowed to challenge them. That's how we get better, right, Ben? Like we're supposed to challenge this.
Absolutely. And one of the problems with, first of all, to say just asking questions. Well, the reason that people will say I'm just asking questions is because the assumption is that everyone has lied to us for so long that we have to start with a set of questions, because I didn't see Shapiro's podcast, right? But what it sounds like he's indicating is that by just asking questions, you're just trying to throw bombs.
Yes.
Right. You're asking incendiary questions for the purpose only of creating disruption. Well, first of all, even if that is the case, so what? Right. Even if someone is only asking questions because they want to disrupt your narrative, so what? If you have answers, you should be able to answer those questions. If the questions are based on a false premise, you should be able to address that. The problem that we have right now in our current media structure, though, is we don't even know what is a good question or not a good question, because so little of what is discussed is actually based upon a fact, and instead it's based upon a narrative. And a narrative meaning that we live in this incredible time where a story comes out, whether it's what's happening in Israel, what's happening in Gaza, what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening on January 6th, right? And all of the media, this fake left-right paradigm we have in media, certain stories transcend that. All of the stories I just mentioned all magically transcend that. And what you have is overall, the media, doesn't matter if it's Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, your local TV stations, your newspapers, Washington Post, New York Times, all of them come together and have an agreed upon narrative. And then when they take that narrative, they say, this is now our agreed on starting point. This is our baseline. Just asking questions is an attempt to break the baseline to say, wait a minute, but what if the baseline is not based on truth? What if the baseline is something that's untrue? So for instance, the idea that January 6th was an insurrection is a baseline that is false. An insurrection is an attempt to overthrow the government. What happened on January 6th was not an attempt to overthrow the government. 99% of the people, there might have been some people in the crowd. I was there, by the way, and I saw a lot of these people myself. 99% of the people in that crowd had no interest in overthrowing the government. They didn't believe that the election was true. By the way, another narrative. The 2020 election, best election in history. Nothing wrong. Nothing happened. Right?
And you hate America if you question it.
And ask questions.
That's right.
And you hate America if you question it. So when you just ask questions about that, Ukraine is the most democratic nation in the world. Its leader, Zelensky, is the rebirth of George Washington, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., combined into one man, maybe Jesus himself. He has risen to save us all from the Soviet Union being reunited. So we must continue to give hundreds of billions of dollars to this man. We all agree he's good, right? That's the baseline. And so those of us who ask questions are saying, well, wait a minute, we've got to poke some holes in this ice because the ice that we're all standing on, it's fake.
Yep.
Underneath us, right, the floor is lava. And you're telling us that everything's fine. And so we're all starting from this point. And so I think that's the problem with being angry when people ask questions is the reason they feel the need for that. There is no standard of truth. So when these organizations come together and they all agree upon a narrative, someone should have the right or the ability, and we should all have the right and the ability to be able to say, but I have information that contradicts the claim you're making about this being the agreed upon truth. And that's what we see with so many of the stories, right, that we're talking about here. There is a different set of facts than the ones that you're presenting. And just going back again to like election integrity, which I still think is a huge story only because we're going back into another election year. When we refuse to acknowledge that there was anything wrong with any of the election. So are we going to run this election in 2024 the exact same way? Same drop boxes, same ballot boxes, same pulling boxes out from underneath tables in the middle of the night, same sending people home, same let's stop counting, we'll start again in the morning. Are we going to do it the exact same way? Because if that's the case, we should do it the exact same way because we were told this was the best election we've ever had, the safest, most secure, most clear and pristine election. We should run it the exact same way, right? If that's the agreed upon set of facts.
And here's what happens. Reporter from, we'll just use NBC for example today. Hi, I'm reporter Brian Nichols from NBC. I'm writing my article. Senior White House official says X, Y, and Z. I publish it. Who is your source? Senior White House official. I can't disclose my source, though. CBS and ABC re-syndicate my article. Brian Nichols from NBC sources unnamed White House official saying XYZ. Now, all of a sudden, 30 different news articles are being written about what I wrote saying a person said. That now becomes the baseline, right? Now, what have I shown? Have I presented any documents? Have I presented any evidence? No, I'm saying I talked to a person and this person said. But my evidence now becomes, and the fact checkers' evidence now becomes, well, I have 30 publications who are all saying the same thing. Sorry, yeah. Mr. or Mrs. Citizen, I'm going to defer to the 30 publications who, by the way, are also supported by intelligent agency budgets, but we're not going to talk about that. But we're going to go ahead and defer towards their understanding because they're the experts. And that's what happens. Right. Now, we become the bad guys when we simply are saying, yes, we need to ask questions. We're not just asking questions. We are for the first time asking questions because if Mr. CBS journalist who was re-airing my quoting of, you know, an unnamed senior official had done their freaking job and say, hey, by the way, do you have like a quote, like an actual recording can listen to or documents or just something to back up what he said? That would have been at least doing part of your journalistic job, trying to find the real facts and present them to the audience instead of saying, trust me, bro.
Except I would say that even that should not be republished, even if they had the recording. What I would say is if you're not willing to go on the record, right?
Yeah, that's.
I can't just quote you. You got to provide me something, a letter, a statement, a document. You got to give me some kind of classified information, right?
That's a good point. Yeah.
You know what's so funny is that if you compare the way that mainstream networks work compared to the way, I'm going to just throw out his name here, Julian Assange and WikiLeaks work. You know, one thing about Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, in the entire history of WikiLeaks, they never had a single report or document that had to be retracted ever. You know why? because they didn't quote anyone.
Picture this. You wake up with a pounding headache and a sore throat, and you dread the thought of dragging yourself to the doctor's office, waiting for hours just to get a simple prescription. But what if I told you there's a better way? With the Wellness Company, you can see a board-certified doctor right from your phone or computer. No more waiting rooms, no more hassle. Just log in, describe your symptoms, and get the treatment you need. And as a listener of The Brian Nichols Show, you're going to get 10% off your visit if you use code TBNS. So don't let your busy schedule keep you from feeling your best. Visit The Wellness Company and use code TBNS to start your journey to a convenient, affordable healthcare.
Someone would give them documents and they would publish them. And so then everyone would now see these documents or videos or whatever the case may be that were now released to the public. And of course, governments around the world were enraged that this stuff was out, but no one had to comment on it because it was there for itself. One of the things that's happened with media, the way you're describing it, you're exactly right, by the way, on this game of telephone where, one publishes it and everyone else references it. Then all the fact checkers come back and say, well, this is what they're saying. And so these reputable sources all agree. But all agree on what? All agree. And I'll give you a real world example that your listeners may remember. It's a story that kind of just, it was like a huge story during the election. And then it just disappeared. But it was the Russian bounty story.
Remember this? My God, I forgot about that. Yeah, they were paying hundreds of thousands of dollars per American that was killed. Yeah, that was a whole thing that they brought up, like right in September, October.
Yeah, it was right before the election this was in 2020.
Holy shit! I had actually forgotten about that, Ben. I'm glad you brought it back up. Wow.
Vladimir Putin was offering bounties personally on the heads of U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan. And that they were paying these guys to come in and to kill U.S. soldiers. And this was quoted as having talked to intelligence officials, unnamed intelligence officials, unnamed military officials. Nobody ever provided evidence of it. Nobody had examples of a bounty. Nobody had a document that said they were going to do this. No one had an example of a payoff. No one had an example of a guy who was arrested who said, yeah, this is the money I made and this is what I did. They had nothing. And it became this huge scandal. And then the story became the fact that Trump knew about it and didn't do anything about it. If you think about that in the context of all that's happened since Biden took office, leaving Afghanistan as horribly as he did, and then also what's happened with the Ukraine war and the way we now see Putin, right? You can see how they were ramping up to it. But it was a completely false story. It was completely made up. Here's the fascinating thing about that. Where is the accountability for that story? Every reporter who reported on it, every single journalist who did that should never be allowed to work again. And these guys just keep on going. It just kind of dissipates into the ether. Like, okay, so you finally caught us that that one wasn't true. So you just move on to the next lie.
Yep.
It's the next one. It's a crazy system.
Man, I wish every industry was like that. Oh, you missed your sales numbers 6 years in a row. Maybe we should promote you.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Well,
The problem is they're not missing their sales numbers. The problem is they're hitting their sales numbers 6 years in a row. Yeah.
That is the unfortunate part because unfortunately the BS in this case sells. Because I know we're hard pressed for time here, Ben. I'm sorry. But like one of the things I don't know if this is because we are the ones buying it, right? So I look at I'm trying to remove my emotional self from this and go strictly economic speaking. Like we know it's incentive structures. Incentive structures are why people will buy the BS, I guess, in this case. So how much of it is on us, right? Like how much of this, Ben, is our fault for continuing to accept this BS narrative, accept the snake oil paper that's being sold? Like, is it our fault? Because they wouldn't be selling it unless there was an open and willing buyer, right?
So I used to believe that. I no longer believe that. I actually believe that we're not the buyer at all. The buyer are corporate interests and political interests and military interests who say, we're creating a system, right? And the system is exactly what you described. We just need you to write these stories. We need you to push out this narrative. Once you push it out, we need everyone to echo it. And then once we've echoed it, as soon as somebody challenges it or contests it, we're going to create, especially through social media, we're going to create these fact-checking systems that basically attack them, say, no, you can't question it. And while all this noise is going on, the rich get richer, corporations get more powerful. They buy up more houses across the United States. They take on more funds. You know, companies like BlackRock. BlackRock now has over $10 trillion in assets under management. Did you know that?
$10 trillion. I didn't.
With a T. The entire GDP of the globe is about $100 trillion.
Well, that's concerning.
Just to put that in context, that means BlackRock controls about 10% of the entire world's economy.
And Elon Musk is the bad guy for buying Twitter for $44 billion.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? And so they'll do that. Jeez. And so what I'm saying is they don't care about people like us and whether we agree, disagree. All they got to do is they just got to keep their little minions stirring the pot so that we're all so distracted. They just keep doing everything else that they're doing. And I think that's why, like, you know, I know we're short on time, but I encourage people, you know, this series that we're putting together in Ukraine, you're going to start to watch it. You think, oh, this guy just hates Zelensky. It's actually not really about Zelensky at all. It's about the structures, how they have gamed this system to basically destroy Ukraine and to now own it, run it, control it. Before this war, Argentina was the world's largest holder of IMF debt, the International Monetary Fund, by a long shot, right? That's why Milei was able to take over the country and get into power, right? Because there's such a disaster there. Basically, the people of Argentina are forever debt slaves, right? And that's what he's trying to fix. Ukraine is now, after this war comes to an end, will be far and above beyond where Argentina ever was. Because everything we're giving to Ukraine in the beginning, it was like, oh, we got to give them this money to help them. They're now being called loans, right? So what's going to happen when this war finally comes to an end, at some point it will, is that Ukraine will owe for countless generations an amount of debt they could never pay back. The country's natural resources will be under the control and oversight of multinational corporations, companies like BlackRock and others as well. BlackRock, by the way, is in charge of the Rebuilding Ukraine Fund. They have taken control of this thing. And it will be just carved up the same way that the old USSR was when all the oligarchs came to power and multinational corporations stepped in there, but to an even greater extent. And what I think people have to understand when they see something like this, and so what I would think would be interesting about your professor is when you go through all of this and you get to the end of it, what you find is this thing isn't about freedom. It's not about democracy. It's not about saving the people of Ukraine. It's actually, I would argue, this is my opinion, that Ukraine just lost a war, but they didn't lose the war to Russia. They were secretly conquered by multinational corporations. Ooh. In the most dramatic and incredible, it's incredible, in 2 years. And they will literally be owned by multinational corporations for who knows how many
years. I mean, Ben, Boris Johnson literally stopped a peace agreement from happening. For what? Billions of dollars. I mean, I'm not trying to pick on my past guest here, Dr. Ginsburg, but like he literally said, you know, hey, you know, for everybody who's upset about us, you know, spending money overseas, a lot of that's coming right back here to the weapons manufacturers. And I'm like, that's the problem.
Exactly.
This is part of the problem.
That's not a good thing.
No.
That's not a good thing. Wow. Listen, and I understand, like the idea is, hey, we're not really spending that money because it is coming back, but it's not coming back here to the people. Here.
No.
You know, our overrun borders, our homeless, incredible homeless problem that we have across this country that no national politician even wants to talk about. It's just the problems that we have here are so vast and so wide, and sending off our own fortune. And by the way, significantly depleting, because the money that's coming to weapons manufacturers are for weapons that aren't going to be built for another 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've done in the short term is we have drastically reduced our own weapons supplies, that God forbid we end up in a real war, because we haven't had a real war since World War II. You know, we end up in that situation and we're kind of screwed.
I'm waiting for the news channels to drop their brought to you by Pfizer, and instead it's going to be brought to you by Raytheon. That's going to be the new monikers here as we head forward, which I know we're all looking forward to. Ben, we are way past time here. I'm so sorry I kept you over, but I think this is just these are one of those conversations that I get a lot of value from. I know the audience does as well. So thank you for sticking around and having this you know very thought out conversation that I think is the tip of the iceberg, right? We I think we need to have more of these conversations. And to your point, I want to maybe set up an interview with you and Dr. Ginsburg. I think having a respectful dialogue where, to your point, we decide, can we agree on the facts, right? Can we at least have a conversation about the facts? That's where I think a lot of this discourse is missing, and where I think, frankly, we have to get out of our own way, get out of the isms, whether that's libertarianism, conservatism, liberalism, interventionism, all the isms out there. To quote my my homeboy, Ferris Bueller, isms, in my opinion, are not good. To quote John Lennon, I don't believe in Beatles, I just believe in me. He was the walrus. I could be the walrus, but it still wouldn't change the fact I'd have to bum rides off people because I don't have a car. End scene. Ferris Bueller. Yeah. But that is, in essence, how I think we have to start approaching things, is get rid of the ism from the mindset of the conversation and just start talking about what is the facts. What can we at least agree on that are true, verifiable, evidence-based facts? And I think that will be a much better starting off point. But yeah, I'm going to see what I can do. I'll see if I can get that conversation set up. Ben, this has been a great topic to discuss. And I think we have a lot more we can dig into. But for the sake of time, do us a favor. Where can folks go ahead and support the work you're doing over at Truth in Media? Also, where can folks go ahead and check out this brand new docuseries you're airing, The Rest of the Story with Lara Logan?
Yeah, so again, you can go to Truth in Media, all one word, truthinmedia.com. Right now, you can see Lara's first 10. We're working on 4 more for her series. And then you can see the Zelensky Unmasked series. We have all the release dates that are on there, so you can watch it. You can also sign up for our newsletter so that we can send them to you as soon as they come out. But yeah, you can check it out at truthinmedia.com. You can follow us on X at @truth_inmedia, and of course at sovereign.media.
Love it. Ben Swan, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. And with that being said, folks, if you got as much value as I know I did from today's episode, please go ahead and give it a share. When you do, tag yours truly at @BNicholsLiberty. You can find me on X.com as well as on Facebook, Sovereign, and all those other good locations. Ben, I tease Sovereign every single episode, just so you know. But where can folks go ahead and support you if they want to continue the conversation?
Yeah, you can follow me on X. It's Ben Swan _. That's what it is. I get these underscores messed up.
I know.
Same thing on Instagram. You can follow me there as well. We're so heavily censored on anything that's meta oriented. You can follow me there. But, you know, X right now is a pretty good one because you get a lot more bang for your buck. Hopefully Elon keeps it that way. But
please
follow me on X. And again, Truth in Media.
And to that point, folks, like if you want to go ahead and find Ben, because I know, yeah, sometimes it's like, okay, what was that? It's Ben Swan. Was it one N or two N's _? What? Yeah, yeah. All those links are going to be in the show notes. So have no worries at all. I'll make sure I include those there for you. And folks, by the way, yeah, I know that this was a very meaty episode. So if there's stuff you want to go back and, like, you know, you want to, like, actually read parts of this, the entire transcript from today's episode can be found over at briannicholsshow.com. So go ahead, give that some love. And then back to where you can find the show. I mentioned, you know, we are on podcasts, we are on video. So that means whether you're looking for us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, wherever you get your audio podcasts, or heck, you're looking for the video version of the show, YouTube, Rumble, Sovereign, X.com, as well as Facebook. We are uploading the video in its entirety to those different platforms. Just do us a favor, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell. Also, if you want to help us reach more people, hit the like button and go down below in the comments. Let us know your thoughts. That shows that people are engaged. They want to have a conversation around this, which I'm on X. I see it. You guys are talking about this. So let us know what your thoughts are as well. And one last plug, and that is to please support the folks who support us, our phenomenal sponsors. So Amp America, Cardio Miracle, we have a brand new sponsor, The Wellness Company Plus. I'm really excited to have a brand new sponsor called Indie Emporium, and they have a really cool shirt, Michael Scott 2024. It's his 40-day plan, 40 days, and we're back on track, so go ahead, check them out. They have a really cool discount, by the way, this week, and I think next week. No, it's this week only. Oh my God, time flies. It ends the 6th, so if you will get 25% off your order of a Michael Scott 2024 shirt, use code MS2024 at discount or at a checkout, you'll get that 25% discount applied to your order there. That's all we have for you, folks. Ben, it's been a great conversation. Thank you for joining us. I know we went a little bit over on time here, so I appreciate you sticking around. Any final words for the audience as you wrap things up today?
No, I just appreciate your time every time. I'm happy to come back anytime.
Love it, man. Open invite. And folks, we'll make sure we have that part two conversation set up. Yeah, go check out the episode with Dr. Ginsburg if you didn't. He aired right here before our conversation with Ben. So go ahead, give that some love. And with that being said, thank you for joining us. Brian Nichols signing off here for Ben Swan. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to The Brian Nichols Show. Find more episodes at briannicholsshow.com.